Last week, we stood in the first half of Romans 8 and remembered who we are. We're children of God. We're heirs with Christ. We are people who wait with patience because the Spirit waits with us. We named the waiting rooms of life, those places where we sit with uncertainty, those places where we sit with longing, and those places where we sit with hope. We named the storms we've weathered, the ones that shake us, the ones that scatter us and leave debris behind. And we remembered Paul's promise that is for all of us. The Spirit groans with us, praying in our weakness, carrying what we cannot carry. Week one, just last week, was about identity. We are God's beloved children. We are not waiting alone. We are held by the Spirit. Hope is a posture. But identity needs something underneath it. Identity needs a foundation. Identity needs something solid enough to stand on when life shakes us. And that is where Paul takes us next. Paul begins this second movement by shifting from who we are to what God has done. Identity is beautiful, but identity alone is not enough. Identity needs a foundation strong enough to hold us when life gets heavy. And Paul says the foundation is God's action, God's fidelity, God's unstoppable love. God has already secured our story. Our identity rests on God's completed work, not our strength, not our clarity, not our circumstances, not our perfection. Paul is building a foundation under our feet. A foundation deep enough to hold our fears, strong enough to withstand any storm, and wide enough to carry our hope. Paul begins this section with one of the most tender truths in all of Scripture. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, not after we are strong already, not once do we have the right words, not when we finally pull ourselves together, but in our weaknesses. The Spirit prays what we cannot pray. Paul says the Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. That means the Spirit is praying in the places where our vocabulary runs out, in the waiting rooms, in the storms, in the moments when all we can manage is a simple sigh. One of our commentary writers says the Spirit's intercession is not a bonus feature of faith. It is the foundation of Christian endurance. We endure not because we are strong. We endure because God is working in the very places where we feel weak. Walter Brueggemann calls this God's counter-testimony to our fear. Our fear says, you are alone, and the Spirit says, I am praying for you. Our fear says, you don't know what to do, and the Spirit says, I'm already speaking what you cannot speak. Our fear says, you're not enough. The Spirit says, let me carry this with you. God is working in our weaknesses. This is the foundation Paul wants us to stand on. God is not waiting for us to be strong. God is working in our weaknesses. God is not waiting for us to have the right words. God is praying in our silence. God is not waiting for us to be fearless. God is faithful in our fear. Identity needs a foundation. And Paul says the foundation is this. The Spirit is already doing what we cannot do. Paul now turns to one of the most quoted and most misunderstood verses in Scripture. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God. Most of us have heard this used as a spiritual band-aid. Everything happens for a reason, is what we hear. God must be teaching you something. Just trust. It'll all make sense someday. On the contrary, Paul is not saying anything happens, and not everything happens for a reason. What Paul is saying is God is at work in everything. Not everything is good. Not everything is God-sent. Not everything is part of some divine lesson plan. But God is at work in everything. In the weaknesses we named last week, in the groaning we carry, in the storms we endure, in the waiting rooms we sit in. This is not a platitude. It is not a promise. It is a foundation. I remember a season when someone I loved was going through something incredibly difficult. The kind of situation where you pray and you pray and still feel helpless. One afternoon, I got a phone call with news that wasn't good. I hung up the phone and I sat there, feeling the weight of everything I could not fix. But later that week, something unexpected happened. A friend reached out, someone who didn't know the details, didn't know the timing, didn't know the heaviness I carried, and said, "I don't know why, but you've been on my heart, and I am praying for you." It didn't solve the problem. It didn't erase my pain. It didn't make everything suddenly work out. But it reminded me of something deeper. God has and was already at work. God was already moving. God was already weaving strength into my weakness, presence into my fear, and hope into my exhaustion. That moment didn't fix anything, but it held me. It steadied me. It reminded me that God's goodness is not the same as good circumstances. God's goodness is God's faithfulness, God's relentless commitment to be present, to be working, to be redeeming. The foundation is not circumstances. You see, the foundation is God's character. This is what Paul wants the church to understand. The foundation of our identity is not that life will always go well. The foundation is that God is always at work in the mess, in the mystery, in the moments that feel unfinished or unclear. All things work together. Does not mean all things are good. It means God is good, and God refuses to waste anything. This is the foundation beneath our identity. This is the anchor beneath our waiting. This is the strength behind our weakness. And now Paul is ready to take us deeper into the golden chain, into the completed work of God, into the assurance that our identity rests on something already finished. Paul now moves from God working in all things to something even deeper, something that anchors the entire Christian life. He gives us what theologians call the golden chain. foreknown, predestined, called, justified, glorified. Five verbs, five movements, five actions, and every single one of them is in the past tense. Paul is not describing what Jesus might do. Paul is not describing what God will do if we behave, or if we believe, or if we perform well enough. Paul is describing what God has already done. This is the foundation beneath our identity. Last week we said, we are children who wait with patience. This week, Paul says, you can wait with patience because God has already secured your story. Foreknew, God saw you before you saw God. Before you took your first breath, before you prayed your first prayer, before you made your first mistake, God knew you. God saw you. God loved you. Predestined. God set your future in motion. This is not about fate or rigidity. It is about God's intention, God's desire for you to be shaped into the image of Christ, to grow into the fullness of who you are created to be. Called, God reached out first. Your faith is not your achievement. Your faith is your response. God called you through Scripture, through community, through moments of grace, through whispers in the dark and nudges in the light. Justified. God made you right. Not because you earned it. Not because you proved yourself. Not because of anything except because that Christ claimed you. Christ covered us. Christ made us whole. Glorified. God has already secured the ending. Past tense is what Paul uses for future promises. Why? Because it's God's economy. Your future is as secure as your past. Your story is already held. Your ending is already written, and it's written in love. Henry Nouwen says, we live from belovedness, not towards it. We live from belovedness, not towards it. We don't strive to become love. You see, we live because we are already loved. This is Paul's point. Your identity as God's child is not floating in midair. It is anchored in God's completed work. It is tied to a foundation that cannot be shaken. When storms come, and they will, your foundation is not your strength. It is God's faithfulness. When waiting rooms stretch long, and they do, your foundation is not your clarity. Your foundation is God's commitment. When weakness overwhelms, and it will, your foundation is not your words. It is the Spirit's intercession. Paul is building a fortress under your feet, a foundation deep enough to hold your fears, strong enough to withstand your storms, and wide enough to carry your hope. So here we stand, 1 week behind us, week two beneath us, Romans 8 still ringing in our ears. Last week we learned that we are children who wait with patience. Hope is a posture. This week we learned that we can wait with patience because God has already secured our foundation, a foundation that does not crack under pressure, A foundation that does not crumble in storms. A foundation that does not shift when life becomes uncertain. A foundation that does not depend on our strengths or our clarity or our perfection. A foundation built on God's action, God's fidelity, God's intercession, God's unstoppable love. And here's the truth that Paul wants us to carry home. The Christian life is struggle, but never separation. We will face hardships. We will face fear. We will face seasons that feel unfinished, unclear, and overwhelming. But we will never, ever face them alone. Because beneath our identity is a foundation. Beneath our weakness is a foundation. Beneath our waiting is a foundation. Beneath our storms is a foundation. And you see, that foundation is Christ. That foundation is the Spirit. That foundation is the fierce covenant of love that God has with us. So, as you leave this place today, I want you to carry one question with you. One question Paul meant to echo long after the sermon ends. If God is for us, who could ever be against us? Let that question steady you. Let it challenge you. Let it comfort you. Let it become the courage you need for the hard work of discipleship, the hard work of justice, the hard work of forgiveness, and the hard work of hope. Because you are God's children and you stand on a foundation that cannot be shaken. Amen.